Hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you back, brothers and sisters. We're going back into our study today of sanctification. We began that with an introduction on our last recording and our last class. And today we're going to go into studying some a little more meat having to do with this sanctification matter. And what the Bible has to say about sanctification. This is the fourth study in the letter S of our ABCs of Christian growth, sanctification. Now, when we began our study of sanctification, we had an introduction. We had one verse that we read, if you remember, and it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. The Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Not as in holiness, but in holy, all of you, completely, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's God's will for you to be sanctified wholly and completely. And the Lord has set out for that thing to take place in you and through you and wholly in you. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body is destined for sanctification. Part of it is already sanctified. But there's part of you that's not sanctified yet, and we're going to get into that when we get into the part of the sanctification of man. But as we begin this study, I told you on our last recording that there were going to be several parts of sanctification that we were going to discuss. This first part is not going to be about man and sanctification of man. It's going to be about sanctification of the Lord. Sanctification of the Lord. Now, when it comes to sanctification of the Lord, there are different descriptions in the Scriptures having to do with what the Lord means when he's talking about sanctification. Now, let's just concentrate and focus for a minute on sanctification of the Lord. We're not talking about sanctification of man and how sanctification takes place with man and how the Lord has arranged that. We'll do that after we finish this part. But this part right here is specifically sanctification of the Lord. Now, what do we mean when we're talking about sanctification? Well, sanctification is I don't really get into all this Latin and all this kind of stuff, but when I looked up the word, sanctify is simply a Latin word, is sanctifico, and it's broken down in two parts. It's from sanctus, which means holy, and facio, if I said that right, to make. Holy, to make. Did you get that? Sanctify. Holy, to make. And that's basically the ground of the definition of sanctification. It's to make you holy, to make you like the Lord when it concerns sanctification of man. But now, God does not need to be holy. God is holy, completely, genuinely, fully and wholly holy. God does not need to be any more holy or better holy, or he doesn't fluctuate in different gauges of holiness. God is holy. Okay, so what are we talking about? It can't be the same as man's sanctification because God is holy already. So what are we talking about when we're talking about sanctification of the Lord? Sanctification of the Lord. All sanctification is sanctification indeed, okay? But it all needs to be divided into its own context. In other words, it's kind of like saying the same church, but different pew. When we're talking about sanctification and we're studying this matter of sanctification, and we talked about sanctification of the Lord, it's different than sanctification of man, okay? But it's all in the same the same study of sanctification. And you'll see that as we go along. So let's begin. Sanctification of the Lord. Now, there are several different descriptions in the Scriptures, and we're going to use the Scriptures to understand what we're talking about when we're talking about sanctification of the Lord. The first description that we're going to talk about having to do with sanctification of the Lord is simply the act of consecrating or of setting apart for a sacred purpose, consecration, to separate or set apart or appoint to be holy, sacred, or religious use. For instance, like under the Jewish dispensation, when you read in the Bible and you read about the Jewish during the Old Testament and the Jews and how things were between them and the Lord, you always seen the Lord telling those Jews that things needed to be sanctified. They needed to be set apart, consecrated for sacred purposes. And this could become very dangerous. You say, what's the big deal? Because you're dealing with God. God doesn't do anything outside of the realm of His holiness. When He deals with man, He's dealing with sinful man. And He has to do things have things exercised, like, for instance, the temple. The temple and the altar and the priests of the Old Testament. When He was dealing with them and getting things like He wanted them to do and how He wanted things to function around the temple and how He wanted things to be done, the showbread and the candlestick and the high priest every year and all these things that took place in God's house there in the temple. When these people come in, man, sinful man, he had to be sanctified. He had to be set apart. He had to do things specifically like God instructed them to be done. It had to be sanctified unto the Lord, sanctified to the Lord. If it wasn't sanctified to the Lord, there were some very dangerous things that happened and did happen. People died because of not sanctifying the Lord when they did things. They would touch, just go as far as touching things, and God would kill them. So sanctification of the Lord is very important, and things being sanctified unto the Lord is very important because God is holy. God will never, ever touch anything sinful or have anything sinful come into or be part of anything sinful having to do with man. But when God is dealing with man, God sanctifies things and has things orderly so that things run well and bad things don't happen. You see this? Are you getting this thing? All right, so the first description in the Scriptures is the act of consecrating or of setting apart for a purpose, a sacred purpose. Consecration. To separate, set apart, or appoint to a holy, sacred, or religious use. So, under the Jewish dispensation, to sanctify the altar, for example, the temple, for example, the priests, for example. Now, let's read some scripture so we can understand what we're talking about. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Here we go. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. God does specific things His way because God is God, and God said, and God sanctifies things. We see there that the seventh day God sanctified. He found that He wanted to sanctify that and set it apart. Okay? All right. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. You'll see this as we go. Sanctify unto me all. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, if that's what I said, I think it was. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Remember that? This is where God picks all the firstborn of the male children and sanctifies them or separates them or sets them apart for a sacred purpose. This was the beginning before the Levitical priesthood came in and it changed things. But sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. You see that thing? You see that thing? It was sanctified unto the Lord. Sanctification of the Lord. Okay? This ain't got nothing to do with man. This is what the way the Lord does things having to do with sanctification. But remember, he's dealing with sinful men, and he's dealing with beasts that are under a curse, and he's dealing with Israel, and he's dealing with things that are unholy. So God has to do things in a specific way, or do things in his own way, and sanctification is the way he gets these things done. All right, so that he can have relation and deal with man and so on and so forth. So the first description is the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose, to consecrate. All right, here's another verse. Exodus chapter 28, verse 41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they minister unto me in the priest's office. You see that thing? They had to be sanctified. It had to be done a specific thing. The Lord's talking to Moses there. He's telling them how to set Aaron and his sons up for the priesthood and consecrate them and anoint them. If they're going to do this for me, they're going to do it this way. It's going to be sanctified. It's going to be consecrated. It's going to have to be done this way. And if it wasn't done this way, people could die. People could die. Now look at this thing. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 27 and 33 and 36. Listen to what it says. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering. These are the offerings that the Lord would have the priests bring in for man's sins. And it had to be done in a certain way. It had to be sanctified. And even the things that were part of it, like for instance, the offerings themselves, the breast, the wave offerings, the shoulder and the heave offerings, and all these offerings that they would bring, that people would bring, and the priest would kill them, and they would wash it, and they would cut these parts out, and they would have to do it a certain way in front of the Lord in order for it to be sanctified and be proper. And be proper. Sanctification of the Lord. The Lord will, things will be sanctified in his presence and in front of him, and anything having to do with him and dealing with the Lord, it has to be sanctified. You see that? And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved and which is heaved up, of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger, now listen to this, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. You see that thing? You see that thing? Man needed his sins taken care of, and God provided it in the Old Testament through bringing them offerings, the blood being spilt, the parts of that animal would be waved or either heaved or however God instructed those priests to do it, and God would set aside, God would forgive those sins. God would forgive those sins. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering, for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it and sanctify it. You see that thing? You see how that works? When you're dealing with God, you have to deal with sanctification. Things have to be sanctified. They have to be set apart unto the Lord. You can't just do it any old way. Any old way. Leviticus, let's read that one. There's a lot of scripture having to do with this, but it's going to bring all this into making sense for you, okay? All right? And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, and the priest shall estimate it. So shall it stand. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field or his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. And homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he sanctify his field from the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation. And if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money to thy estimation unto it, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, and if he hath sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord, as the field devoted, and possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of Jubilee, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs shall be a shekel, only the firstling of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling. No man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. You see that thing? Even when it comes to dealing with, if a man set something apart and he sanctified it unto the Lord, he done something. And there was only certain ways that it could be redeemed or bought back, and the Lord just laid that out right there. I mean, it would cost him so much to get it back. It would cost him so much, and Jubilee had to do with it, the 50 years, and all this stuff was in it. I mean, the Lord had certain ways that things had to be done and had to be exercised. Sanctification of the Lord. You see that thing? You can't just do it just any old way like they do things nowadays, and it's convenient and this and that and the other. When you're dealing with the Lord, you're dealing with sanctification. Things have to be sanctified. They have to be right and they have to be proper. What else? Well, Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. Listen to this. Now, remember, we're talking about the description of sanctification of the Lord. There are several, and we're going to go over them, and there are a lot of scripture, but I want you to hear these scriptures because it helps you to understand what we're talking about having to do with the Lord and having to do with sanctification of the Lord. We're not talking about sanctification of man yet. We're talking about sanctification of the Lord, even though man is involved and the sanctuary is involved and the temple's involved and animals are involved. We're talking about dealing with the Lord, not dealing with man, okay? All right, the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. That's what we're talking about right now. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it. You're talking about setting up a tabernacle. You're talking about setting up a tent. But it was a tent. It was the Lord's tent. You set it up, and it came to pass the day that Moses fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof. There were snuffers, and there were pans, and there were bread loaf pans, and there were all sorts of different tools that were used in that sanctuary. Every single one of them had to be sanctified and anointed and set apart for the Lord's use. You're talking about the Lord. You're not talking about just any old man and any old, we'll use this or we'll... No. It wasn't that way. It had to be sanctified unto the Lord. Both the altar, it said, anointed it, sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them. You see that thing? Here's another one in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. You see, the Old Testament, they were to keep that Sabbath day. They weren't to work. They weren't to go out and gather any food. They weren't to do anything. They weren't to start a fire. They weren't to do this, weren't to do that. The Sabbath day was set apart for the Lord, and it was sanctified unto the Lord. And very dangerous to mess with, because it was sanctified unto the Lord. Ain't you glad you ain't got to live in that condition because of the Lord Jesus Christ now? You see that? 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kirjath-jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. The Ark of the Lord. This was a box that Moses built, and it kept the manna and the testaments in there, and the rod that Aaron that budded, and the things that God told him to put in there. But you say it was just a box. Oh, but it was God's box. It was an ark. It was an ark that was sanctified unto the Lord. And believe it or not, there was one man that just touched it and God killed him. Just touched it and God killed him. Sanctified unto the Lord. The act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. This is one description of sanctification of the Lord. It has nothing to do with man or sanctifying man. It has to do with sanctifying anything that has to do with God, because of who God is and how God is. You see that thing? 1 Corinthians chapter 23, verse 13. A son of Aaron, or son of Amram, Aaron and Moses. And Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name forever. You see, even just to go in and burn incense or to mess around and handle these most holy things, these instruments that were necessary in order to do things the way God instructed them to do them, you're dealing with God. And it has to be sanctified. It has to be done God's way. You see that thing? Second Chronicles. Now they begin on the first day of the month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came to the porch of the Lord, so they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the Lord, before the altar of the Lord. You see, Ahaz, he messed around with some of God's stuff and polluted it and all this sort of business. And whenever all of it was going to be used for the Lord again and brought to the house, it had to be sanctified again before the Lord. The Lord, you can't just walk up and have just any old thing, any old way, any old how, and think that you're going to use it for a holy God. a holy God. Things have to be sanctified. Sanctification of the Lord. You see that, how that thing works? Are you getting this? Are you getting the picture that God is God, and if you're going to approach Him, it has to be a certain way. If you're going to use something to for the purposes of holiness, having to do with God's holiness, it has to be a certain way. It has to be sanctified. It has to be consecrated. It has to be set apart for a sacred purpose. Consecration, set apart, or appointed, holy, sacred, for God's use. You see that? Very, very important in the Old Testament. Very important today, but Jesus took a lot of that off of you, man. He took a lot of that off of you. He's the one that gets us to the Lord now, but if you tried to come to the Lord before the Lord Jesus Christ, man, you're in trouble if you come the wrong way. You see that thing? Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 3, I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. My highness. You see? So there's the first description, the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. You see how that goes? You see how that goes? Having to do with the Lord specifically, having to do with sanctification of the Lord. Now here's another description. Here's another description. This description is to secure from violation. Now we're still talking about sanctification of the Lord, but this is not necessarily just setting apart, even though all that stuff has to be done. This description is a consequence. This is to secure from violation. Because if you don't sanctify things unto the Lord, and you don't, you just take it, you just do things flippantly, like, who cares, you know, and all this, that, and the other, it'll cost you, man. It'll cost you when you're talking about God Himself and talking about a holy God, that things have to be sanctified before you enter into His presence, or you, even in the Old Testament, before some of the fellows that would come before the Lord tell them, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Take them off. You see? I mean, just simple things like that. Very, very important when it comes to sanctification of the Lord. But this description is to secure from violation, is to sanctify God and honor Him, to praise and to celebrate Him as a holy being, to acknowledge and honor His holy majesty, and to reverence His character and laws. God sanctifies Himself or His name by vindicating His honor from the reproaches of the wicked and manifesting His glory. In other words, you don't cross the line when it comes to, or act like it's meaningless or happenstance or don't make no big deal out of it, like some people say nowadays when they're messing with God's Word. Don't make no big deal out of it. You better make a big deal out of it when it comes to sanctification of the Lord, because it secures you from violating something in front of God and God killing you or maiming you or whatever it's going to cost you. There's even circumstances in the New Testament that apply having to do with some of the ordinances that the Lord Jesus left us that have to do with, if you mess with it the wrong way, God will kill you or make you sick. Or cripple you, whatever He decides to do, but it has to do with sanctification, and that's partaking of the Lord's table, partaking of the Lord's supper. It's sanctified unto the Lord. And we are to sanctify that thing when we partake and remember the Lord's death. And if you do it the wrong way, God says it'll cost you. It might cost you. You're dealing with a holy God, even though you got God's graces on you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ done, and He's the mediator in between us now, and He keeps us safe from God's justice and God's wrath. Lashing out against somebody, just doing something against His holiness without thinking about it. Jesus keeps us safe from all that. So, another description talking about sanctification of the Lord is to secure from violation. Now let's read some of the scriptures and I'll show you what the scriptures are talking about. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Remember, God told them, you come up to that mountain, you better not touch it. You better not touch it. You better not touch that mountain. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Now, God gives many warnings in the Old Testament. He said, don't take this sanctification matter lightly, my friends. He said, if you want to deal with me, you better deal with me the way that I'm laying it out. Because if you violate it, it's going to cost you. And that's what we're talking about, the sanctification of the Lord, this other description, to secure from violation. It keeps you sanctification. This sort of sanctification of the Lord keeps you out of danger. The Lord set up certain things to keep His wrath from lashing out at you for not doing it the right way in front of a holy God. And there's a lot of people today, man, in this 2024 age that we're living in, boy, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for God's grace, oh man, He would have burnt this place. You just don't understand when it comes to the sanctification of the Lord, what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished to keep God's wrath from coming forth. Even though God's wrath, the Bible says, God's wrath abideth on an unbeliever. Whoever has rejected Christ, the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on them. That's what this is talking about. It just hasn't been executed yet because of God's grace, because the Lord Jesus Christ is standing in between. But if you die, Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3, listen to this. Now, we're talking about a description of sanctification of the Lord to secure from violation. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord. In other words, they took their little bick and they took their rod that they would normally go get fire off of the altar and take that fire from the altar inside. They took their little bicks and lit the end of their censers, and they walked in there with strange fire, the Bible says. Look what happened. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and they'd been drinking before this, of course, and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. You see, that's a perfect example of what we're talking about. God's sanctification of the Lord. Sanctification of the Lord. The Lord doesn't let people come around Him just any old way. We are able to come to Him now much, much freely because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You wouldn't be able to get close to the Lord in the Old Testament just any old way that people do today. The Lord Jesus Christ has made things, really sewed things up between man, sinful man, and a holy God. You see, very, very important. To secure from violation, sanctification of the Lord. One description is to secure from violation. These boys went and they got the fire that they wasn't supposed to get. God said, get it off the altar. And they took their little cricket bicks or whatever and lit those censers and walked up in there and thought they was going to do something any old way they wanted to. And guess what? God sent out fire right there, and burned them to a crisp right in front of their daddy. Aaron's boys burn up right there. God killed them. You don't do that. And Moses turned to Aaron and he said, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. You see the matter of securing, being secure from violation? God set these things up so that this stuff wouldn't happen. And if you want to get drunk, you want to get fire off something else and bring it in here, go ahead. But you're going to get it. And God burnt them two boys up. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 23. Only he shall not go into the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, and that he profane not my sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. I mean, the temple was divided into separate parts. And it had the holy place where the priests could go in there and do their things. But then beyond a curtain, a dividing curtain in there, was called the Holy of Holy, the most holy place. And if you went in there and you weren't supposed to be in there, God would kill you deader than a doorknob right there. I mean, there were divisions in there of what you could and what you could not do, and whether you were qualified under God's sanctification, whether you were sanctified properly to administer and to do things for the sanctification of the Lord without violating anything. Very important, very important. You're dealing with a holy God. And guess what, folks? That God is exactly the same. He is still that holy, even more. He gets that angry when people violate His holiness and His sanctification and try to do things to make Him look like a fool or to use Him or to misuse Him. But the only thing different now is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what brings God's grace, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, people would be dropping dead right and left. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 13, listen to this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. The people were out there and they needed something to drink, and they were asking Moses, you know, what's God going to do? Give us something to drink. God told them, this is the second time this happened. And God told him, go and speak to the rock. Now, the first time he told him, go and strike the rock. This time he told him, go speak to it. But watch what happens. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. These people just arguing and fighting and everything else and complaining and saying God can't do this and God can't do that. And Moses got upset about that matter. And God told him, go and speak to the rock and I'll give him some water. But Moses got angry at him. And when he started talking to him, he said, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. What did God tell him to do? God told him, speak to that rock. Don't strike it. Speak to it this time. But he struck it twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. But watch what happened. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. And listen to what he said. Because ye believed me not, in other words, what? What do you mean we didn't believe you, Lord? Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, in other words, doing it like I told you to do it. I told you, speak to the rock. And you went out there and you reprimanded them and you struck the rock twice. You didn't sanctify me and set me apart before these people and do it the way I told you to do it. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Cost Moses from going into the promised land just that one little thing, because he didn't sanctify the Lord before the people. That's how important God is, folks. The sanctification of the Lord. God don't just take any old thing off of just any old body. God is God, man. God is God. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let me get this straight. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 51. Listen to this. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. In other words, you didn't stand up there and glorify me and separate my name from these stinking heathen people complaining about water and saying I couldn't feed them, get them water and this, that, and the other. You got up there and you struck the rock instead of sanctifying me and honoring me. He's reprimanding Moses. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16 says, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. God just don't let people do things just any old how, any old way before him. The only reason people get away with stuff nowadays, running their mouths, and you hear these people stand out there running their mouths before the Lord and saying all this stuff, oh, it's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time, old buddy. Just a matter of time. It's just because Jesus Christ died for their sins and God's grace and his long suffering is being executed now. Otherwise, they're secured from violation right now because of Jesus Christ. Because the sanctification of the Lord is important, folks. Is important. Sanctification of the Lord. Are you seeing how this thing is? You seeing how this thing, how the Bible's teaching us about the sanctification of the Lord and who the Lord is and how important this matter is? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13 says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Isaiah chapter 29, and verse 23 says, but when he seeth the children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel." You see, God, you just don't treat God just any old way. God is not a human being. Jesus Christ is a human being, but he is God in the flesh. But even Jesus Christ sanctified the Father always, always. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 and 41, listen to this. "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, and that they may know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen." Talking about Israel. God scattered them people, and he's still working on that. That's something that's going to come about in the future, is Israel. Israel's been scattered. When they said, "Let Jesus' blood be upon us and our children," boy, they sure messed up then. Because it has for over a couple thousand years now. But when the Lord comes back and the tribulation begins and the Lord starts working on getting Israel back and having them believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah, all that stuff's going to come back and they're going to sanctify there, and "I will be sanctified in you before the heathen." In other words, people just kind of mock and scoff and scuff around with Israel and God now, because Israel's out of fellowship with the Lord now, and the Lord's dealing with the Gentiles now. But one day he will be sanctified again by Israel and in front of the heathen. In other words, when the heathen stand up and look at Israel, they're going to know that God is their God, and God's going to get the glory. And sanctification of the Lord, and "I will be sanctified in you before the heathen." In other words, it's the way these people say it, "I'm going to get my respect. I'm going to get my respect." But when God says that, he means he's going to be sanctified. He's going to be sanctified. You're not going to compare him to anybody. He's going to be separate and God alone. And you're going to see it that way. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 22 and 25 says, "And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her." In other words, you're not just going to talk about me and think just any old thing about me. You're going to know who I am. "I will be sanctified in her. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in the land that I have given to my servant Jacob." Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 23, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." Ezekiel chapter 37, "And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." This is all prophecy. This is going to come to pass. The Lord's got plans for Israel, and he's got plans for that millennial kingdom. And Israel's going to be set up, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Nobody. God's got plans for that. But God says that you can say what you want to say right now, but I will be sanctified in the heathen's eyes, and it's going to be through Israel. Ezekiel chapter 38 says, "And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days," which is what we're talking about, "and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You getting this? You getting this? Sanctification of the Lord. God just don't take mess off just any old body or any old way, any old how. God is God, and he will be sanctified by you and me and everybody. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 27, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Ezekiel 48, it shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. 1 Corinthians, here's some New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know why God don't lash out to the things that you mock him about and you make fun of his holiness, and when you say things against a holy God, and you don't realize what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God dwelling in you has done for you concerning securing you from violating God's holiness. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. That's what you got to be before the Lord to be able to be secure from violating against him. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see how important the Lord Jesus Christ is to us concerning God's justice and God's holiness and violating and being secure from violating against him? 1 Corinthians 7:14 says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. 1 Timothy 4:5 says, For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You see, this sanctification passes right on into the New Testament, but the things that changed as far as consequences and as far as being secure from violating God's holiness and not sanctifying him and respecting him and honoring him is the Lord Jesus Christ and the new covenant. And the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, 14, and 29. Listen to this. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 9:13 and 14 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see that thing? You see that thing? All right. Well, I think we've got a good start on this. We've still got two more descriptions that I want to give you concerning sanctification of the Lord. The first thing that we talked about, and we went over a lot of scripture, and we should, sanctification of the Lord. The first description was the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. You got that now? You see how things just can't be any old way? They have to be sanctified. You're dealing with God. You're dealing with holiness. You're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with God. All right? And the second description, having to do with sanctification of the Lord, is to secure from violation. It's to keep you from getting burned up. Keep you from getting killed. Keep you under God's graces and not under His wrath. Because God is God. And God's not going to tolerate sin. God has done, He's made provisions. He has arranged things down through history. He's done so much. I mean, the more you read of God's Word, the more you see Him. He has been at work for a long time until the Lord Jesus Christ came. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, He said, "It is finished." That completed it. That put the topping on everything as far as taking care of man's relationship and getting back to God, being reconciled to God. Because that was a whole problem, was that God is holy. God has to be sanctified in anything or anybody that comes near Him or comes to Him or comes to live with Him or anything having to do with any of that. It has to be sanctified. And that was a problem. But it's not a problem through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that sanctifies us and gets us back to God very easily through His blood. To secure from violation. All right, we have two more descriptions that I want to go over before we get into this sanctification study of sanctification of man. All right, so we're going to stop right there. And let me give you the scriptures for today. Are you ready? And I'll give those to you. Sanctification of the Lord. Got your pen? Your pencil? All right, here we go. The first one is Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. This is under the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose. This is sanctification of the Lord, the first description. The next scripture is Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. Exodus chapter 28, verse 41. Exodus chapter 29, verse 27. And it'd be good for you just to go over and just sit there and when you're not doing anything and just read these so you can get a sense of who the Lord is and what this sanctification means having to do with the Lord. The sanctification of the Lord. Exodus chapter 29, verse 27, verse 33, and verse 36. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 14 through 26. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16 through 20, and then 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 13, chapter 23, verse 13. And then we have 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 17, and verse 19, and then 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and verse 8, and then Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 22, and Isaiah chapter 13, verse 3. That was the first description of the sanctification of the Lord that we talked about today. Now, here are the scriptures for the second description of the sanctification of the Lord and the way the Bible describes it to us and has. To secure from violation, to sanctify God, to praise and celebrate Him as being holy, being a holy being. Here they are. Exodus chapter 19, verse 22 and 23, and Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 23. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 9 and 16. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 51, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16, and chapter 8, verse 13, and chapter 29, verse 33, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12, and verse 41. Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 22 and 25. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 28. Whole bunch about sanctification, isn't it? Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 16. And 23, and Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 27, and one other, Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 11. And then we have some New Testament ones that we went over. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, and then Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 10, verse 14, verse 29, and then Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 13. Verse 13. Those are the scriptures for our study for today, having to do with sanctification of the Lord in our study of sanctification in the ABCs of Christian growth. This matter of sanctification is pretty important. I mean, did you see how important sanctification has started out? And it's not just, just be clean and do the right thing and stuff like that. No. This is very important. Very important, especially when it comes to sanctification of the Lord. And when we get into the sanctification of man, you're going to see all the benefits and all the things that God has provided and all His grace and all His mercy and His long suffering and all the things that the Lord has done to provide sanctification for man. And when somebody denies that, you can imagine already just from what we've studied about God and about sanctification of the Lord, how dangerous that matter is and why the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on them. And how come Jesus warned not to die and go to hell? You see these things? Sanctification of the Lord. The act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose, consecration, and to secure from violation. And we got two more descriptions we're going to pick up on, and we're going to talk some more on the next one about sanctification of the Lord, and then we'll move on into sanctification of man. All right. Well, thank you so much, and the Lord bless you, and thank you for your patience and for your diligence to study God's Word. Don't underestimate the value of studying God's Word. Everything matters that you hear from God's Word, and all of God's Word is perfect and pure. And we'll get back together on the next one and study some more about this matter of sanctification, okay? We honor our Lord because we love Him, don't we? Yes, we do. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.